It's time for Eco Talk with host Betsy Rosenberg.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
Welcome to Eco Talk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. This is the show where we green the red and blue states one show at a time because we all are in the same boat and it appears to be sinking too fast. With some of the hottest temperatures on record this summer, the heat is on all across America and much of Europe as well. On that note, we're honored to have Representative Henry Waxman of Southern California joining us. He is lighting a fire under you-know-whats of Congress with a bold new bill in the House to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Two students are doing their part to reduce emissions by taking a biofueled road trip. And as the Center for American Progress will report, they heard from Senator Barack Obama and others along the way. In the second half, we'll speak with the Sierra Club's immediate past president, Larry Fahn, a friend of EcoTalk, recently back from Ohio, where innovative partnerships like the Blue-Green Alliance, that's between the United Steelworkers Union and the Sierra Club, are getting hotter, despite all the hot air from some of Ohio's Washington leadership. Finally, turning all this heat into a solution will be David Hochschild. He's the executive director of PV Now with the latest on solar power. All this and more. First, want to mention one of our new friends at EcoTalk, one of our favorite websites. It's treehugger.com. It's the largest, most popular green lifestyle blog on the net today. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you buy. It'll put you right in the middle of modern hip green living. Want to waste no more time and immediately welcome a guy who's very busy, about to run off to vote as we speak, but he's going to spend a couple minutes with us, Representative Henry Waxman of California. And in this era of presidential initiatives deceivingly titled Clear Skies and Healthy Forests, it's tempting to be cynical when you hear of a congressional bill entitled the Safe Climate Act of 2006. Well, folks, the Safe Climate Act of 2006 is here, and it is the real deal, a set of ambitious targets to reduce greenhouse gas emissions with incremental steps, measurable progress, and bold ideas, and very comprehensive in its ambition. We want to thank Representative Waxman for joining us and authoring this bill. Tell us about the Safe Climate Act and what prompted you to come up with it.
The Safe Climate Act is an aggressive way for us to meet the objectives that we have to achieve if we're going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from the United States. We have to go beyond that, of course, and work with other countries, go back to the Kyoto Protocol, but it was never an excuse as I see it, to say we're not going to do anything because everybody hasn't agreed internationally with what we want to do, which has been the position of so many people in the Congress and certainly this administration. But the essential thing that we have to recognize is that global warming is receiving a lot of coverage right now because the theories that we thought were only theories 10 years ago or more are turning out to be a reality. Two weeks ago, we had a study that was released that found that changing climate was the most important factor in driving a fourfold increase in the average number of large wildfires in the western part of the country. And we've had a new study indicating that hurricanes and other damage that we've suffered so much from in the United States, in Louisiana and Mississippi, is going to become more prevalent and, in fact, was related to climate change due to global warming. The problem with global warming is that we are now seeing a runaway increase in heat in this country and on this planet, and we've got to do something to reduce the emissions if we still have time to do it in order to stop
Precisely.
The planet from being unalterably changed.
Now, ambitious and aggressive targets are much needed, but how can they be achieved realistically?
Well, what the bill sets out is that we are going to put a limit on U.S. emissions of these greenhouse gases by 2010 and then reduce it 2% per year until 2020. Many scientists are saying that we only have 10 years in which we have to start acting. This would give us 15 years to deploy cleaner technologies that we are still trying to develop, but we would at least now immediately use technologies such as hybrid vehicles and wind power right away and put us on a schedule to get to 1990 emissions by 2020. After 2020, we've got to still continue to decrease those emissions. We've got to insist that there be a tighter fuel efficiency standards for automobiles, which is one of the largest emitters of these greenhouse gases. And the whole program would be run by a cap, but an emissions trading program. So we would even bring market-based trading, which we've tried out successfully in the acid rain reduction area, to this particular greenhouse gas emissions area. And so that while largest polluters would be told they have to cap their emissions, they could then shop around with other facilities that are able to become more efficient and reduce their emissions. Carbon dioxide is a good pollutant for this type of control program because while it's important in the atmosphere, it causes no direct localized health effects. So if we have a company that's polluting too much for greenhouse gases in one area, they could buy emissions from another area, we can get an overall reduction of the emissions that are causing problems to the whole climate of our planet.
Now, coming up with strong, realistic legislation is the first step, a very good one, but of course getting it passed is the next big hurdle. What kind of support do you expect, and who are the likely threats?
Well, the biggest threat we have, quite frankly, and I'm not saying this as a partisan Democrat, but the realistic threat is that the Republican Congress and the Republican Bush administration is uninterested in doing anything that will offend the industries that are so generous to their campaigns. When Bush became president, he not only rejected the terms of the Kyoto Protocol, but he said that there's no such a thing as this problem of called climate change and global warming. In fact, when the Environmental Protection Agency suggested that this one was one of the major environmental issues, they were told to strike it from their list of issues because, according to the Bush administration, there's no such problem. So the biggest difficulty we're going to have is that the Republicans have been so unwilling to deal with the issue.
What is it going to take? I mean, with Al Gore's movie and even the Discovery Channel, Tom Brokaw doing a two-hour special this week. You know, okay, don't believe Al Gore if you don't like his politics, but Discovery Channel, Tom Brokaw, I mean, how many scientists? What is it going to take?
It's hard to know. And I'll give you an example just this week. The Energy and Commerce Committee in the House, which has the jurisdiction for this legislation, since the Republicans have been in power for the last 12 years, they've not held any hearing on the whole question of global warming, the impact of global warming on alternatives to reduce those emissions. They held a hearing instead on a 1998-1999 study by Dr. Mann showing that we are now experiencing higher heat indexes than we've ever had in the last couple thousand years. And so they had a statistician testify on why the study was inaccurate. Well, they had with him a person who was an expert on climate issues, and I asked him, "Well, even if you accept these statistical challenges to the original research, there have been many studies since then, National Academy of Sciences and others, that validate the same argument, the same premise." And I went through each one of the studies, and he said, "No, of course they weren't dependent on this study that was being refuted." Why did we have only one hearing to refute a study that's not even relevant now because we've had so much confirming evidence of the global warming impact from these greenhouse gases?
And even though there is no time to waste and no energy to waste and more ways than one, we understand that the House Government Reform Committee is conducting a full committee hearing this week called Climate Change, Understanding the Degree of the Problem. And of course,
will be a much more comprehensive and realistic hearing because we'll hear from all the experts on all sides of the issue, and it's with the attempt to really explore what we can do about it. It's not within the committee of jurisdiction. I thank you very much for your interest in this bill, and we certainly would welcome support from your listeners. As you mentioned, I have to go to the House floor for a vote.
How can they support your bill before you run?
Well, I would urge them to urge support for the Safe Climate Act and to let their representatives know to support it, and if their representatives can not only co-sponsor the bill but urge the Republican leadership to take up the bill and actually allow us for a vote, on it, that would be tremendously helpful.
Representative Henry Waxman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We will get word out, as we do here at EcoTalk, about this important piece of legislation. Many are saying this is the one that really must pass. And we've been speaking with Henry Waxman of Southern California. He's talking about the Safe Climate Act of 2006. It talks about incremental changes to reduce global warming emissions, but it is aggressive, it's trackable, it's comprehensive, and really worth your checking it out. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to EcoTalk on the network, EcoTalk.net.